The reading is written in Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24 to verse 30, and then from verse 36 to 43, and can be found on page 979 in the Church Bibles. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" And continuing at verse 36 on page 980. "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom and everything that causes sin, all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Holy Father, we thank you for your word. Speak to us now, we pray. Open our hearts and minds to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's great to be back at St. Patrick's. My name is Gary Jenkins. I used to be a colleague of David King when he was in Redhill, and I work for the diocese as the Dean of Estates Ministry. Estates meaning council estates. And I used to be on the executive committee of Cyan International. So I was delighted to hear about Cyan International. I know there's a long link between this church and Cyan. 10 days ago, with other people in the diocese, we took part in a senior leadership safeguarding course, which has actually taken place over 6 months. We'd had a whole session 6 months ago. In between, we'd had various homework things to do, and then we had another full day. What came to me very powerfully, particularly from the second day, was this. The very painful realization that great evil can exist inside the church. We know there's great evil in the world, but it's shattering to hear there's great evil inside the church. And if you've read the newspapers or turned on the telly this week, that has been a message that's been proclaimed very loudly. There's great evil inside the church as well as outside. Godliness, kindliness, spiritual life can exist alongside evil, deception, and abuse. And in the world, that's true too. The good and the bad exist alongside each other. And you can't always tell them apart. One of the problems of child abuse and other forms of abuse is we somehow think we'd be able to spot these people. but actually we can't. It's hard to tell apart the good from the bad, both in the church and in the world. And the parable of the weeds is all about that. Is all about good and bad living alongside each other. And it's the most unusual parable because it's one where Jesus explains it. Often he doesn't explain the parables. They're kind of thrown at you and you've got to chew them over. You've got to work them out for yourself. But this one he explains. There's a field, and Jesus says that is the world, the whole world. And there's good seed that is growing, and then there is bad seed, weeds that are planted. And then he says, well, who are the weeds? Jesus says, the weeds are the sons of the evil one. In this field, which is the world, there are people who belong to the evil one. They're of his family. Who are the good seeds? The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. They're the ones who belong to God's kingdom. But who's doing the sowing? Well, there's two lots of sowing going on all the time, says Jesus. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. It's Jesus himself. But the enemy who sows the weeds is the devil. So in the world, there's good seed and there's bad seed. There's a good sower, there's a bad sower. There are people who belong to the devil, and there are people who belong to the Son of God. Now, I've been doing a bit of gardening over the last few weeks, getting the garden ready for winter. As they say in gardener's world, it shows you how old I am now because I'm starting to watch gardening programs. And when you think of weeds, you think, well, let's just get rid of the weeds. Why can't we just get rid of the weeds? That's what we do in the garden. Why couldn't that be done in the world? Why couldn't that be done in the church? Jesus says, no, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. You can't actually root out all the bad and all the evil. Instead, says Jesus, you have to let the good seed grow alongside the bad seed until the harvest. But then the harvest comes. When is the harvest? And who are the harvesters? Jesus gives us the answer. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Verse 40. As the seeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Whoever has ears, let them hear. That's Jesus' way of saying, listen carefully at this point. What can we hear from that? What can we learn from that? Well, I've got a number of things I want to share with you. First one is this. We need to be realistic about evil. About evil in the world and evil in the church. Evil is real. We must be aware of that. We must look out for that. We must be on guard. We must be realistic. Evil is real. Secondly, we must be realistic about the work of the devil. Excuse me. We must be realistic about the world of the devil. The devil is real. The devil is at work. We mustn't be afraid of the devil. We mustn't be fearful of the devil. We mustn't be intimidated by the devil. But we mustn't think he's not real. He is. We need to recognise the work of the devil. Secondly, we need to realise that we have to live with the reality of good and evil living alongside each other for the time being. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't do whatever we can to oppose injustice in the world. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't be active in opposing evil. We shouldn't be active in making the world a better place. But we do need to be realistic that good and evil are going to live alongside each other for the time being. Excuse me. We need to be realistic that good and evil are going to be living alongside each other for the time being until the harvest comes. And we must accept that we can't remove all the evil without damaging what is good. Oppose evil, oppose injustice, but recognise that good and evil will live alongside each other. And we can't always tell them apart, because that is God's job. But the next thing is this. Be patient for God's final reckoning. Recognise that that reckoning will come. His justice, his judgment will be done in his time according to his plan. It will happen. Sometimes we just need to be patient for when that will come. Next point. Be confident that God sees, that God knows, that God is aware of what is going on in the world. He knows where the evil is. He knows who's perpetrating the evil. Everything is seen by him and known by him. One of the things that I discovered or rediscovered in the safeguarding course was that people who commit abuse are very clever, are very deceptive, and they operate in secret. And they think no one knows, and no one is seeing what they're doing. And sadly, very often, that is the case for some time. But in terms of all the evil in the world, God knows, God sees, and no one avoids his gaze. That's a really important fact. And here's the great thing. God will do the right thing. What's happened in some of these safeguarding scandals that have occurred in the church is that sadly those of us who are in authority haven't always done the right thing. Sometimes not enough has been done, sometimes nothing has been done. To be honest, it's hard to know what the right thing to do is. But as Christians, we believe God knows everything, God sees everything, and God would do the right thing. The judge of all the earth would do right. We believe the right thing will be done by God in the fullness of time. And here's the great thing, and this may not seem like good news to begin with, but it is. We need to trust that God's judgment on evildoers is unavoidable. What do I mean by that? Well, let me just say something about the terrible abuse of John Smythe, which many of you have heard about this week. One of the many tragedies of that case, frankly, is that John Smythe died before he could be brought to justice. And one of the things that's made it very hard for his victims is that thought. That he wasn't brought to justice. He did terrible things and he's got away with it. He hasn't come to justice. Now, not just about Smythe, but about everyone. As Christians, we don't believe that. We don't believe that you do avoid justice, because no one avoids justice, because Smythe, like everyone, will need to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So going back to the field, going back to the parable of the sower. There's good seed, there's bad seed. They're growing alongside each other. You can't, in fact, root out all the weeds. Fight against injustice in the world. Work for good things to happen in the world. But realistically, one needs to recognize the good and the bad will live alongside each other. But God's judgment is real. The time will come, says Jesus. Just as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of the kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do it evil. Then they will throw into the blazing furnace, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And that brings me to almost my last point, which is this. God's judgment is part of the good news. Let me explain. God's judgment is part of the good news because it means that terrible evil will not go unpunished. That the wicked and terrible things that have been done in the world, the Lord sees, and the Lord will call the perpetrators to account. No one avoids his judgment. By his grace and forgiveness, everyone can be forgiven. But his judgment is real. This came over very powerfully to me when I visited Auschwitz-Birkenau. We spent the whole day there. Auschwitz was the first camp, Birkenau was the second one. Birkenau was where murder occurred on an industrial scale. Millions of people died there. At the very end of the war, as the Russian army was approaching, the Germans blew up the gas chambers because they were trying to hide what they'd done. And to this day, the gas chambers are still there, just blown up, the ruins of them. And at the end of your tour, visit, you stand there and you look at them and you think what was done. And it's overwhelming to think what was done, the wickedness. And very few people were called to account. And hundreds of thousands of people were involved in this, but very few people were called to account. And as I stood there, looking at the ruins of the gas chambers, this is what I said in my mind. I'm glad there's a hell. I'm glad there's a hell. I'm glad there's a place of judgment. I'm glad there's a place of accountability. I'm glad that the people who did this haven't got away with it. I'm glad there's a hell. Now, we have a Saviour who died so that no one needs to go to hell. So at the forefront of our proclamation must be about that, his forgiveness, his love, his salvation. But his message today is the evil and the good live alongside each other. Judgment will come and there will be a real separation. And evil will be punished and righteousness and goodness and love will triumph. That's why God's judgment is part of the good news. It's good news to every victim, to every oppressed person. God sees, God knows, and God will act. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus, for the parable of the weeds. The evil and the good alongside each other. Lord, thank you that the harvest is coming. Thank you that judgment is real. But thank you too, so is grace and forgiveness. May we take hold of that grace and forgiveness in our lives. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.